To the book of James, James chapter 1, we'll re-enter the book of James, and we're going to talk about doing the word today. James chapter 1, you know there have been some great slogans over the years in the business world. In fact, let's do a little quiz here. It's a little after 10 in the morning, and so let me give you a company. Let's see if you can come up with the slogan that goes with it. If I gave you the name Subway, what would be the slogan? Eat fresh, and now our stomachs will begin to growl. We'll be thinking about it. All right, how about McDonald's? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Well, we're loving it, right? I'm loving it. Subaru's pretty audacious. They've got quite a statement. What's Subaru's, do you know? They say love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I'm thinking, okay. KFC. It's finger-licking good. M&M's melts in your mouth. Not in your hands, and then there's this one. This is Nike. And Nike, they tell us that this was like the, according to one site, this is the second most successful slogan of all time. And so Nike, what is theirs? Just do it. It was 1988 when they first came up with that slogan. They were a pretty successful company already in 1988, but they were really in competition with Reebok back in 1988. They came up with a slogan, and they went from an $800 million business over 10 years to a $9 billion business, and they still use it. What a successful slogan. Here's what they say about it. Just do it is a bold statement that inspires athletes to work harder, a no-nonsense call to action. Today, as we dive back into the book of James chapter 1, we're going to find another bold, no-nonsense call to action, but this one's coming from God himself through James. James chapter 1, let's pick up in verse 21 and following. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Essentially what James says here, as the Spirit guides him, just do it. If you had to choose a slogan to describe the current condition of your Christian life, what would be the slogan you would attach to yourself? Maybe you'd have to say, well, I'm not so much into doing these things. Maybe the slogan I would have to honestly put on myself is, I just talk about it. I just hear it. I just sing it. I just fake it. Or maybe you'd be honest enough to say, I just reject it. And yet the Word of God says, you need to do these things. So today I want us to talk about how can we move from not being a doer of the Word to becoming a doer of the Word. The first thing we're going to see is this, that we need to humbly receive the Word. Yes, we're going to talk about doing it, but before I can do it, I need to humbly receive it. Do you remember verse 21? Which says this, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted. Verse 19, you might remember that from last week, that we are to be quick to hear. And particularly, that's talking about being quick to hear the word of God. So if we're going to be doers, we need to be reading the word of God. But we need to read this way. We need to read with faith that this really is the word of God, that these are the most important words on all the planet. Do you have that mindset when you open the Bible? That I'd rather have this than what anybody might say on any topic. I must have what God says. That over and over again, this word has proven itself to be accurate and reliable and true. We could talk about archaeological evidence for the scriptures. We could talk about fulfilled prophecies. We could talk about the thousands of manuscripts that point to a harmony of the texts. We could talk about millions and millions and counting of lives being transformed through Jesus Christ and through his word. And so when we come to this, we say, Lord, I will come eager to receive your word. I'll come in faith. I'll come with expectation. I'll come with anticipation. I'll come with absolute humility that I might receive your word. This was David's perspective. In Psalm 19, here's what King David said. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether." Now listen to his heart for the word of God. "They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." By all means, we should commit to reading the word of God. This week, this was crystallized in my mind again, already what we've been aiming for, but this week that sank deeper, that this has to be my number one priority as a pastor, to get people into the word of God. Yes, once somebody trusts in Jesus and comes to faith, what's the number one move? I need to push people, encourage people to be personally, daily in the word of God. If that one move takes place in the heart of as many people as possible, a lot of the discipleship takes care of itself. Think about it with me. If a person says, "I will do that. I've been struggling at that point, but I will do that. I will meet daily with God in his word." Listen to what they'll pick up daily. Daily you will be confronted with the glorious attributes of God. It won't be week to week that you think about his grandeur and his wonder, but you'll be daily thinking, "God, you are amazing, and your great love for me. I never lose sight of it because there it is daily for me." You'll pick up what's on God's heart every day. The priorities of God, you'll have those clearly in your mind. The plan of God will never be outside of your gaze. That God created us. He rescues us. He's returning. He has his will made known to us in his word and his purpose for our lives and how we fit into his big plans. We also learn about an enemy and his common schemes and how to avoid them. And in the word of God, what is true? What's best? What needs to be rejected or put aside? And so as you're confronted with the word of God every day, the word of God then begins to shape your very life. Think of it this way, on the opposite. Without the word of God, quite quickly, you will become quite odd. If you say, "I'll be a Christian who believes, but I won't meet with God, I won't take up his word," you'll become quite odd. You won't realize it, but you'll become quite worldly rather than a person who looks like the Savior. In fact, if the word of God's not shaping you, the world around you is shaping you. Romans 12 reminds us, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it is the word of God that will enable you to have a renewed mind every day. So hear the word. Read the word. Put aside the old that you might humbly take in the word of God. Be quick to hear. Now somebody might be here going, "Man, I would do that, but that's a big, thick book. And I've never opened it before. I've never read it before." Can I just give you a practical word? If you're new to the Bible, the Gospel of John this week. You say, "I want to be a doer of that." So the Gospel of John. In the New Testament, take the Gospel of John. Read a chapter or two today. Use a highlighter. Use a pen. Mark it so that you can understand what you're looking at. And then what do you do tomorrow? Pick up right where you left off and continue reading through the book of John over the next number of days. And when you're finished, what do? Find another book in the New Testament and do the same thing with that book. Read a chapter or two a day. Underline, mark it up. Make that a pattern of your life. We must humbly receive the word if we're going to be on our way to being doers of the word. Second word for us, not only should we read the word, but we should understand the word that we're reading. Look again at verse 25. "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." He says, look intently into this word. I love how he describes the word here, by the way. He calls it the law of liberty. We're talking about the law of God. This isn't a law that puts us into bondage. This is a law of liberty. This is a law, this is a word that brings life to us. And I also love how he calls it the perfect law. Oh, and when we understand that's what this is, absolutely, Lord, I want to look intently into your word. I don't want to just glance at your word. I want to gaze into your word. That Greek word behind looking intently literally meant to bend over, to stoop, that you might look at something more intently. The idea is of a deep, thoughtful approach to God's word. So when we talk about taking up the Word of God daily, this isn't a legalism that we're trying to put on you, that you would read it, okay, let me check off that I've read, but I don't really understand what I'm doing. No, we want to read it that we might understand it. When we lived overseas in Central Asia, our Muslim neighbors would have the pieces of the Quran wrapped up into some little charms that they would have hanging from their rearview mirror. It was to keep them safe, to ward off evil. None of the people that we knew could read Arabic. None of them knew what was inside of that thing. They just knew there's just some power in their minds to having that. Listen, that's not Christianity. That's not what we're talking about. This isn't a good luck charm that we just have. Well, I believe the Bible. I have copies of the Bible. How does it do its benefit? Oh, I need to be reading it. I want to go deep into this. And so it's just the idea of gazing into it is not the idea that, well, I'm watching TV during the commercial break, I will read a little bit of the Bible. No. Or no, while the sitcom is on, I will read some while that chatter is going on. No, the idea here is I need to prioritize the Word of God in my life. Let me ask you this. If you were to purchase something very valuable, and let's just go ahead and put a number on it. I can't imagine what this product is, but if you were to buy something that cost $100,000, can you imagine? And the warning was, read all the instructions first. You're going to break this thing, and you're going to void your warranty if you don't follow the instructions. How many of you would read the instructions intently? Oh, I would. I don't like to read instructions on a lot of simple things. I don't read the instructions. I can figure most things out, and you can too. But if I had a very expensive item that I could ruin if I didn't read the instructions carefully, I would be reading them carefully. But listen, let me ask you, isn't your life worth more than $100,000? I mean, wouldn't you want to know what your Creator has to say about you? Do you know that you can wreck your life by not knowing what God has called you to do and how to live on this earth? Do you know you can ruin your family by not knowing what God has said? A lot is on the line. Let's look intently into this word. Goodness, I'll read instructions on things that are much less than that. In fact, recently, I had the idea as a grandfather, I said, Joy, we should be grandparents who make homemade ice cream. Now, I got the idea because my grandparents, the only place I ever had homemade ice cream that I can remember typically would be with my grandparents. I'd visit them, and they'd pull out the thing. And I remember early on, there was the hand-turned one. And that's brutal. But then I remember the electric ones. And that's what I bought recently. I bought an electric ice cream maker. And here's what's on the line when you make homemade ice cream. It's got to be good. I got people counting on this, and it's the first time I've ever done it. So here are the instructions to the ice cream maker that I got right here, that little book. Can I tell you that I looked intently into this imperfect law of ice cream, you know. Such a dumb little thing. But I read it and reread it. And, of course, the parts are all new. I got to know, what do you call that? That's a dasher. Okay, I got to learn what a dasher is. And here's the lid. And I'm just scouring over this little book to make ice cream. But listen, aren't our lives more than having a good gallon of ice cream? By the way, it's pretty good. Pretty good. I don't mean to brag, but it's pretty good. But aren't our lives more valuable than that? That, Lord, I want to know what you think about me and what's important to you. And so we take up the Word of God, and we take it up that we might understand it. Here's great news. You can pray before you read the Word. God, I'm going to read your Word. Would you help me to understand it? Did you know the author of these 66 books lives in you if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who inspired these books, is in you as a child of God, and he will help you to understand it. Now, sometimes you'll bump into things that might be background or cultural, and you don't know what that is because it was from 3,000 years ago or something. Here's what you do there. Maybe you would invest in a good study Bible. In fact, this week, here's an assignment. If you don't have a good study Bible, maybe you go to Lifeway. I trust them. You go into Lifeway and say, could you recommend a good study Bible? That I'll recommend one now. The ESV study Bible is a good, reliable study Bible to help you with some of those background things that you might bump into. Because you want to read it, but you also want to understand it. But we might read it. We might understand it, but even all that's worthless if we don't take that next step, and that's doing it. We need to do the Word. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person that he is. James tells us two important things here. First of all, a person who does not apply the Word of God is self-deceived. He says you can actually delude yourselves. A person who merely hears the word and even starts gaining some understanding, maybe even memorizes some of it, but doesn't do it, that person's deceiving himself. He's missing the entire point. The scriptures weren't given merely to entertain us, but to actually change us. This isn't a book merely of literature. It is great literature, but that's not it. Oh, that moved me. Now let me put it back on the shelf. No, it's to change our very lives. This is not a new problem. Even back in Ezekiel's day, this prophet of God had to reassure him because the people were listening, but they weren't doing. Listen to what God said in Ezekiel 33 to his prophet. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, and they speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come. And they sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words and do not practice them. And so when it comes to pass, as it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. A problem in Ezekiel's day of just hearing, kind of enjoying it, but not doing it. It can happen in churches too. Man, I like that message. I like that story. That guy's pretty good. Or maybe it's your favorite podcast preacher. Man, I like that. He's so good. And I hear that. He's really excellent. But listen, what if we don't do what we're hearing? What if we don't do what we're reading? So we don't read the Word of God merely for its beauty, but there's much beauty here. We don't read the Word of God merely for the knowledge. Oh, but there's much indispensable knowledge right here. So why do we read the Word? Personally, I keep reading the Word of God daily because I need it and because of what it does in me. So the Word of God reminds me of things. The Word of God steadies me. The Word of God comforts me and corrects me and strengthens me. The Word of God shapes me, motivates me, and draws me closer to the Lord. These words are life to us. These are God's words. And so the Word of God does so much in us, but it always calls us to action at the same time. So if we merely hear the Word, merely understand it, and don't do it, we are deceived. Then James says this, a person who does not apply the Word, not only are they deceived, but they're foolish. They're spiritually ignorant. And this is where he used that analogy of a person looking at himself in a mirror and forgetting what he looks like. It's not a compliment when he says that. In fact, in those days, not everybody had a mirror. Isn't that hard to imagine that people didn't have mirrors? A mirror in those days was a brightly polished piece of metal where a person would try to make out their likeness in that, and not everybody could afford one of those. Can you imagine going out into days and I hadn't seen myself in a week or two? Wouldn't that be an unusual way to live? But more unusual than that would be a person who does have access to a mirror, looks at themselves and says, I don't even remember what I just saw. So this morning, all of us looked in a mirror. I'm quite confident we do. We all have mirrors, and we all looked in there. And what do? You look in a mirror, you just take an assessment of what needs to be addressed. You check the teeth, you check the sleep in your eyes, you check your hair, all that kind of stuff. Your clothes, you realize I'm not wearing what I probably ought to wear to church. These are pajamas or shorts or whatever. You want to deal with it. But what if a person took inventory in the mirror and decided, nah, I don't even care. Don't even care. Don't even remember what I saw. I'm just going to come, show up in the pajamas, show up with the hair sticking all up, showing up with all the other problems. The person would be saying, I have so little interest in what the mirror told me that I just dismissed it out of hand. It's just irrelevant to me what the mirror had to say to me. It's unworthy of addressing what it told me. This would be a foolish person. But this is what James says is the person who hears the Word of God and refuses to put it into practice in his life. And here's the question, is that you? Are you merely entertained by the Word, and yet you don't seek to apply it to your life? Are you disinterested in the Word? I don't even want to look into that. I'm just disinterested, and therefore you're not a doer of the Word. Or maybe you're a person, I revere the Bible. I recognize the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. I have all the right doctrinal positions on the Bible, and that's great. But are you also doing the Word of God? Probe here with me. Let God search your heart. I've done the same thing before preaching it to you. I've asked, Lord, as far as I know, I'm obeying in everything you've told me to do. I have no no conscious areas of disobedience in my life, but Lord, I may be missing something. They don't call them blind spots for nothing. So Lord, would you show me? Let's do this. God, show me. Are there areas where I'm not obeying? Here's what can happen to us. We have to watch out for substituting belief in the Bible for obedience to the Bible. We should believe it, but not at the expense of doing it. Make sure it's not just a slogan for you that I believe the Bible. Make sure it's showing up in your life. Second thing we'd watch out for is selective obedience. We say, oh, I obey the Bible. I obey those parts of the Bible that I want to obey. So I don't murder people. And so give me some credit for that one. And here I am at church. I'm not forsaking the assembling of myself with other believers. So give me credit. I got two things of the Bible that I'm doing. That could be selective. We need to be doing the Word, all the Word, whatever God is showing us. You and I want to have the responsiveness saying, I will do what you want. Not just when I feel like it. Not just those things that I already want to do. Otherwise, we say, Lord, when your will and my will clash, oh, I'm going with my will, not your will. That would be very foolish. So daily, you and I should look into the mirror of God's Word and respond to what He shows us. We should do that quickly. We should do it eagerly. We should do it joyfully. We should do it completely. And as we read, let's read for relationship. Lord, I'm going to meet with you as I take up your Word. I want to know you. I want to respond to you. I want you to transform me. And as we come with that approach, ready to be eager doers of the Word, verse 25 is true of us. Oh, we're blessed. We're blessed. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Today, be that man. Be that woman. Be blessed by taking up the Word of God, looking intently into it every day, and then be determined by the grace of God and the power of His Spirit to be a doer of the Word. One final word. We talked about slogans at the very beginning. We talked about Nike, among others. How about this slogan? You ever heard this one? Rooted in truth, reaching in love. Whose is that? That's Staples Mill. That's us. That's what we aspire to be as a church. Lord, we want to be rooted into your truth. And we want it showing up in our lives that we're rooted in your Word, and we want to reach out to others like you've told us to do. Would you consider adding that as a slogan for your life as well? Doesn't have to be the only slogan. I wouldn't presume to take over your whole life slogan. But would you say, I'll make that a part of me? For it to be true of all of us, it has to be true of each of us. That, Lord, yes, I will root into your Word, and Lord, I'll obey it, including sharing this wonderful good news with the people I know. I want to be reaching in love at the same time. Let's pray together. Lord, what an incredibly needed and practical word.